Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Gurudev, 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 Jaya Gurudev. Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hi Krishna, good morning. Welcome everybody to Srimad Bhagavatam class. This morning we'll be looking at Canto 7, Chapter 8, Text Number 9. I'll read the Sanskrit and the word for word. Jaya Sarambhava Imam Twamatmana. Jaya Sarambhavam Imam Twamatmana. Samam mano dvatsva na santi vidvasa. Rite jitad atmana utpate stita. Tadihyanantasya mahat samarhanam. I'll just do the word for word. Jahi, just give up. Asuram, demoniac. Bhavam, tendency. Imam, this. Twam, you, my dear Father. Atmana of yourself, samam equal, mana the mind, tatsva make, na not, santi are, vidvisha enemies, rite accept, ajitat uncontrolled, atmanaha the mind, utpate on the mistaken path of undesirable tendencies, stitat being situated, tathi that mentality, he indeed, anantasya of the limited Lord, mahat the best, samarahanam method of worship. Please excuse my reading of the Sanskrit. I'm not a scholar. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Prahlad Maharaj continued, Prahlad Maharaj is speaking to his father, Hiranyakashipu here. Prahlad Maharaj continued, my dear father, please give up your demoniac mentality. Do not discriminate in your heart between enemies and friends. Make your mind equipoised toward everyone. Except for the uncontrolled and misguided mind, there is no enemy within the world. When one sees everyone on the platform of equality, one then comes to the position of worshiping the Lord perfectly. Purport. Unless one is able to fix the mind at the lotus feet of the Lord, the mind is impossible to control. As Arjuna says in Bhagavad Gita 6:34, Kanchalam himana Krishna pramati balavadridam tasyaham nigraham manye vayor eva sudukshkaram. For the mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate, and very strong, O Krishna. And to subdue it, it seems to be, is more difficult than controlling the wind. The only bona fide process for controlling the mind is to fix the mind by service to the Lord. We create enemies and friends according to the dictation of the mind. But actually, there are no enemies and friends. Pandita samadarshana samasarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate param. To understand this is the preliminary condition for entering into the kingdom of devotional service. Om Gyanatim Rundasya Gina Gina Shalakaya Chakshur Om Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shiyutha Parakamlam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagarjatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Raghunath Lali. Okay, help me out here. Tamsa. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpatrivyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasudeva Gaur Bhaktivrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada, please help me to honor what you have written here in this class. Please, dear Lord Krishna, guide us, guide me, help us to be an instrument of your peace and of your truth. Hare Krishna. So, welcome everybody. Thank you so much for coming. I like this verse for many reasons. One reason is because the verse number is really easy to remember. Verse 7, 8, 9. That's very helpful. But I also like it because of the content of the verse. And it's very relevant in our lives. So I wanted to ask, since here Prahlad is asking his father to give up the conception of friends and enemies. I hope you don't mind if the class is a little interactive. So, what are the qualities of an enemy? Like, what makes an enemy? So just go ahead, pass it around.
They do not agree with our idea.
They do not agree with our ideas. You are definitely an enemy. Go ahead. Somebody else, you had your hand raised, didn't you? Okay, pass it back. There's a couple of people in the back.
They are not our well-wishers.
They are not our well-wishers. Yes. A lot of times our enemies see us as an enemy.
They are envious of others.
They're envious of others.
They are happy when they see that you are in trouble.
They're happy when they see we're in trouble. Anything else?
सामने वाला कितना भी अच्छा करे, हमें उसके विरोध में जानबूझ के करना है.
Whatever good they don't appreciate. They will go against us.
Whatever good we do, they go against us. Is somebody? Oh.
They wish our downfall.
They wish our downfall. Okay, one more.
Envy means no vacancy in spiritual world.
Envy means no
vacancy.
Vacancy in the spiritual world. Okay, so yeah, enemies kind of have an image of, yeah, they don't agree with us. So, just curious. How many of you have ever felt disturbed when people don't agree with you? How many of you have ever felt envious? How many of you have ever kind of been happy when somebody else was having a hard time once in a while, just a little bit? Yeah. How many of you have sometimes not been a well-wisher of others? Yeah. So these qualities of an enemy are qualities of conditioning. They're qualities of the material world, of duality. So there's, in the world of duality, there's good and there's bad. There's right and there's wrong. There's friends and there's enemies. But this is just all in the world of duality. And duality is not reality. duality keeps us divided. It keeps us in a mood of anxiety. Duality keeps us in a mood sometimes of resistance and fighting. We're trying to fight against the bad and bring about good. And Hare Krishna. Please bless me that I may say something. I didn't acknowledge everybody who was here, and please help me out if you see that I need help, because I'm not perfect. And so these characteristics are there because we're not seeing reality. We're seeing differences. Yeah, you differ, your opinion differs from my opinion. So therefore, you're my enemy. That creates differences. So again, let's just look at Prahlad Maharaj and his father. So Prahlad is a devotee and his father is a demon. So, but Prahlad is like 5 years old and he's got some interesting qualities. Let's look at Hiranyakashipu's qualities first, because he's a demon. So we generally see demons maybe as our enemy. But what are some specific qualities of Hiranyakashipu? Let's do Prahlad's qualities first, because we might be able to see the difference better. So what are the qualities of a five-year-old? What are the qualities of a five-year-old? Prahlad is only 5 years old. What are some qualities of a five-year-old? Go ahead, let's hear it. Go ahead, who said that? Go ahead.
Innocent, he's innocent.
Innocent, yeah. What's that?
Talkative.
Talkative. Yeah, they can be talkative. Go ahead, over here. Playful. Very nice. What other qualities of a child? Inquisitive. Curious. Really inquisitive.
Free of enviness.
I'm sorry?
Free of envy.
Free of envy, free of envy. Okay, yeah, they don't really know how to envy somebody. I mean, they might be hurt, but they don't really know how to envy somebody. I'm sorry? Anybody else?
Restless,
sometimes they're restless. Hare Krishna, Adi Keshava Prabhu. Please bless me that I may say something. Anything else?
They're always hungry.
I'm sorry? Always hungry. They could be hungry. They're hungry. But they're hungry for everything. They're hungry not just for food, but they're hungry for understanding, for curious. You know, they're really curious about the why does this happen? Why is this? You said innocent. I'd like to expand on that. They're very simple-minded. Not very complicated. And they're not usually very good at telling lies. If they lie, you can usually figure it out pretty easily. They're not good at telling lies. Now let's look, on the other hand, at Hiranyakashipu. So what are some of his qualities? He's a controller, right? I'm sorry?
Diplomatic,
yes, diplomatic. Sophisticated. Dangerous. Envious. Proud, yes. I know everything. I'm not curious about anything. I know everything. Fearless? Actually, believe it or not, the ones who occur the most proud and the biggest, they're actually really pretty insecure. And you could see his insecurity when his own son would not submit to him. He became very, very, very angry. Now, we don't necessarily become angry unless there's some insecurity in us. Or, I mean, that's not true. I take that back. But anger and pride together, that comes from some kind of like insecurity. Even in one of the verses, he was saying, you know, who do you think you are, impudent, that you appear fearless and overstep my power to rule you? You know, everybody else is trembling. How have you become so impudent? So his pride is really hiding his insecurity. He's fearful. So now what does this have to do with friends and enemies? So both we can see friends and enemies are dualistic and demons and being sophisticated and complicated and political, and we end up being usually more duplicitous, which is the opposite of simplicity of a child. And when we're in an elevated position sometimes, or we're a controller of sorts, we might think we know. And we may know something, but we're not usually curious as much to learn. And when we're not open and curious to learn, how much can we learn? How much can we learn when we're not open and curious to learn? What do you think? Not too much. Not too much. Not too much. Now, in the scope of all of knowledge, say a circle is all of knowledge, this circle here. How much do you think we know in all of that? What? A what? Hardly anything. Maybe like a dot, something like that. We know like a dot. So we do know what we know. And sometimes we know what we don't know. But there's a lot that we really don't even know that we don't even know. We just really, it's clueless. We're clueless. It's out of our range of understanding. So today we're going to just be a little curious about, you know, what we can do about this enemy and friends mentality. Now, I do want to say that to be a soul in a human machine is the most challenging life there is. To be in a human machine, because we've been given this really wonderful gift of intelligence. It's a gift, it's also a big responsibility. Now, say you take an animal, like a deer, and a coyote chases her. And she runs, and she finds a safe place. And then she'll shake off the terror that she has, and her breathing will calm down. And then she forgets about it. She doesn't go and tell all her friends about how mean that coyote was, and how insensitive he was. She doesn't go and gossip to her neighbors about, you know, she doesn't see the coyote as an enemy. She just knows he's dangerous and runs. That's it, simple. Now, in our human machine, we make a lot of extra meanings about things, and we add a lot of extra details. And the mind is given to us so that we can have some discernment. Discernment is important. It's a responsibility of intelligence. Discernment. Judgment, on the other hand, can sometimes divide us, because if I'm making a judgment call about anything, I'm making a judgment call from what I know. And so it's a perspective which may have some validity. However, I may be missing a whole lot. So it's really challenging to be a soul in a human machine. It takes a lot of responsibility. Now, when we add on top of that, now I'm going to be a devotee. I'm going to practice being a devotee. Now we've got an extra layer of responsibility on top of that. So let me gather my thoughts here for a minute. In this material world, many human this world is a place of misery. Many people are suffering. So in this material world, what do people do to alleviate their suffering? To alleviate their suffering. They engage in some enjoyment. A lot of times they take intoxication. They take intoxication to numb the pain. It's not that they're bad, really bad. It's just they don't know how to manage their pain, and so they want to numb their pain. They want to go unconscious. Sometimes enjoying, distracting ourselves from our pain, cell phones, computers, there's so many distractions in the material world to distract us from our pain. Now, as devotees, we say we're no longer going to take intoxication. We're not going to numb our pain. However, sometimes life is very painful, and we still have inclinations to numb our pain. Sometimes we get distracted. Sometimes a bona fide way to numb the pain in Krishna consciousness is prasadam. Sometimes prasadam can numb our pain a little bit. However, numbing our pain sometimes doesn't have us addressing our pain. So what does this have to do with enemies? When we're in pain and we don't address our pain, we don't recognize our pain, we don't acknowledge it, we don't name our pain, we're not curious about our pain, it's kind of like an app running in the background. You know, on your phone, when an app runs in the background, what does it do? It drains the battery. And oftentimes we have more than one painful app running in the background. We have a number of painful apps running in the background, draining us. And when we don't manage our pain, what do you think we do with it when it gets to be overwhelming? We burst out. We throw it on others because it's too much to take. I can't handle this. Here, you take it. Do something with it. And that person has too much, and then they throw it on the other. Here, you take it. You take it. You take it. And so this material world is perpetuated by us throwing our pain on one another. Now, actually, Krishna consciousness is a means to deeply resolve and heal our deepest pains so that we can no longer perpetuate the karma of throwing our pain on others. We no longer perpetuate friend and enemy mentality, and we can be equipoised towards everyone. There's one person that it's really hard for us to be equipoised about. Who do you think that person might be? Ourselves. Ourselves. We often treat ourselves as an enemy. Often. We beat ourselves up for mistakes we make. We denigrate ourselves for thoughts we have. We become frustrated at our inability to be perfect. So, oftentimes, instead of healing our pain, we often create more pain for ourselves. And so then we have more pain to share with others. Oftentimes, we make our mind our enemy. Now, it does say in Bhagavad Gita, the mind is either your best friend or your worst enemy. When we treat someone as an enemy, how might we behave towards that person? Just let's get some sense of how we might treat an enemy. I want to hear from all of you. How might we treat an enemy? We may avoid them. Hate them? What did you say? Hate them. Yeah, we might hate them. And if we hate them, what else might we do? Ignore them. Angry. I didn't hear the other one. Suspicious. We're suspicious of their actions. We might even look at them with condemning eyes. We might argue with them and fight with them. We might even have a war with them. We'll gather some friends together, and they'll gather their friends together, and then we'll, you know, have it like, let's escalate this a little bit instead of just a one-on-one. Let's do it. Let's have a big debate here, and let's get out some weapons here. It escalates. So the power of understanding how to be equipoised, and in the reality that everyone is on the platform of equality, so we can worship the Lord perfectly, is what it says in the verse. The power lies right here within us. When we treat our mind as an enemy, how might it treat us back? Have you ever had an argument with your mind? I have. I don't know if you have. You start arguing with your mind, right? And then it argues back, right? And you're arguing and it's arguing back. And you're arguing and it's arguing back. Now let's think of Haridas Thakur. When Maya Devi approached him, did he argue with her? Did he argue with her? Why do you think he didn't argue with her? He was convinced, but there's another reason. He was busy, and that would have been a distraction. So instead of being distracted by her, he simply said, "That's an interesting proposal. Right now I'm doing this. When I'm finished, maybe we can talk." He acknowledged her. Interesting. Right now I'm chanting. He didn't tell her you're crazy, because she would have gotten aggravated and she would have bothered him more. Interesting. Interesting doesn't mean right. Interesting doesn't mean wrong. Because if you say she's right, okay, then you're in trouble. If you say she's wrong, then you're in trouble also. Interesting. Right now I'm doing this. You know, you can sit here and wait, and then after that we'll talk. What would happen if we had that kind of an exchange with our mind? That's an interesting proposal that you're making. Right now, I want to do this, you know, my dear mind. If you'd like, you can come with me, or you can sit here and wait. You know, we'll talk about that later. We can treat our mind, you know, with a little bit of respect, like it's, you know, interesting. Another thing we can do is we can actually engage our mind in helping us. My dear mind, I want to start practicing some qualities that I don't think that I have. Can you help me to do that? Now, interestingly enough, actually, the mind doesn't have an opinion exactly. It's more like a computer screen, and it's just playing back maybe some of the apps that are running in the background. It's just like a screen. And so whatever we kind of input into it, it will output to us. So a lot of what the mind is saying to us is from input that it got earlier on in our life. And we can reprogram it with new option buttons. We can push a button and say, okay, like, I want to learn forgiveness. My dear mind, how could I practice forgiveness? So how do you think we could start the practice of forgiveness? Where would we start? Anybody have any ideas where we might start the practice of forgiveness? Forgive ourselves. How will we really know how to forgive someone? How will we really know how to understand someone? How will we really know how to accept someone if we can't do that for this little soul right here that we're actually 100% responsible for? This is the soul that we're responsible for. We're responsible for our consciousness. We're responsible for our words. We're responsible for our actions. Even though it says we're not responsible for our thoughts, Bhagavad Gita tells us, whatever your mind contemplates very soon becomes actions, and then more actions and repercussions, and we can fall down. So as we can take responsibility for our thoughts, words, and deeds, and we might start with our deeds first and work our way back, take responsibility for our actions. Well, how am I treating myself? Am I saying negative things to myself? How does that make me feel? Is that helping me in my Krishna consciousness? Being a little curious, like Prahlad, being a little curious. Of course, he was more than curious, but how can I take responsibility? How can I accept myself? The reality is, and the title of this little seminar thing is, it says from the head to the heart, but I want to change it now to integrating our head and our heart. Because if we're just in our head, we may know a lot, but the theory doesn't necessarily change our life. It doesn't necessarily change our experience. What changes our experience is when we apply the theory in reality. That's why even if you just take one verse and you practice that verse for months and months and months, if you perfect one verse, that's a huge step to apply even one verse. And then asking our mind to help us to learn how to forgive ourselves. How can we accept ourselves? How can we forgive ourselves? How can we take responsibility? These are really important questions. And as we take responsibility and we start forgiving ourselves, we know what forgiveness feels like. When we can acknowledge our own pain and feel our own pain, we know what pain feels like. So when we meet another person in pain, we can get it. It's like, oh yeah, that's challenging. That's not really fun. We won't throw a shloka at them and say, you're in Maya, Prabhu. You're on the mental platform. We won't throw a shloka. We'll be able to empathize and say, oh my gosh, that sounds really hard. You know, is there a way I can support you? Wow, that would feel nice. It all begins with ourself. We really need to start with ourselves. Now, I want to leave a few minutes for some questions because the class ends at 9 and I know you all have really busy schedules. I have written a couple of books. They're in the back, and if you want, you can come to the table after the class. And in the books, I address a few different things. Mostly I put in the books all the mistakes I made in my Krishna conscious life, especially the first almost 30 years of Krishna consciousness. I was a fanatic and I was a blind follower. And I thought I was a really good devotee. And I was really proud of how many results I could produce. Until Krishna pulled the rug out from under me. And then I realized that there was a lot of pain inside that I was hiding. And my pride was a cover for a lot of insecurity. And because I was really insecure, I held on to the blind following and doing what I was told so that I wouldn't make a mistake. And that was a mistake. So I put all my mistakes in the books. So there's a book on the mind and the false ego. There's a book on the anartas, which I call habits instead of anartas. I'll talk more about words in the class that I'm giving tonight. I'll talk about words and I'm going to talk about integrity, so that's in my class tonight. And then there's a book about my deprogramming, My parents kidnapped me when I was 22 years old to take me out of the movement. So they were my enemy, and their enemy was Krishna consciousness. And in that book, it talks about how there was reconciliation and acceptance and forgiveness. And then one other book is on compassion. And compassion is adding heart. So the integration of the head and the heart. When the heart is where the soul and the super soul are. Heart is that residence. So when the heart asks the questions to the mind, the heart leads the mind. The heart engages the mind, not the other way around, because the head tends to be kind of dominating and it's pretty much into rightness and being right. And so the head tends to suppress the heart, whereas the heart is curious and open and loving. So the heart engages the mind. So we'll talk more about that later. So I just wanted to say thank you for your attention. And if anybody has a few questions, we have a few minutes. And we'll talk more about these topics later on today. Please. Hi Krishna.
Thank you for the wonderful class and explaining that how the acceptance of ourself. I just wanted to understand in this, like the pain we have, like you are mentioning, we should also heal that or try to resolve that pain within us. Like you also spoke about the mind, also dealing with the mind. And my question is like when sometimes. Like the two extremes may happen within us. Like if we try to give the relaxation to the mind, then mind will go in the downside. And you just pamper that, like if you pamper the mind. And again, the next is like we go to the extreme end. So like example, sometimes like you said that we have to console ourselves, forgive ourselves. Like example of sometimes morning program, we come for morning program. And then some days are there, we don't feel like coming for the morning program. And then, because inside, it is not the body has issue, but somehow there in the day-to-day life, the mind or something is going on, we have some anxieties, mm-hmm. that feels not waking up the morning. But externally, sometimes we don't wake up, we feel ourselves guilty, and then sometimes we give the others, for example, I was not feeling well. It was not feeling, a body is not feeling well, but generally external people don't understand, my mind is not feeling well.
Yeah.
So how we should deal this?
That was a lot in that question. Let me see if I can address it. First of all, forgiving is not pampering. Forgiving is not justifying. So it's a subtle science. We don't compensate one thing by the extreme of another, because that's more duality, you know. So I'm proud, so I'm going to, you know, like pretend to be humble, you know. We need to somehow integrate and come to the middle. So I talk about that in my one book. So we need to really get to know ourselves and understand ourselves before we can really forgive ourselves. Now, understanding ourselves has a lot to do with, we need to understand the machinery. We have conditioned machinery, and that is separate from us. But if you have a, I'll just use a cell phone. If you have a little kid, 2-year-old, who doesn't really know how to use a cell phone. They don't know how to do it. But they see people going like this, so they're like hitting the phone and pushing the buttons. They can delete a lot of stuff and mess a lot of stuff up because they don't know what they're doing. Well, I'm pretty sure we probably, I'll speak for myself. Sometimes it seems that we know more about our cell phones than we know about our own human machinery. So it's important to know the machinery and understand our specific mind and our mentality, our personality traits, you know, where we're strong and where we're weak. I know for myself, in my mind, if I ask my mind to do something every day that takes more than 15 minutes, except for my japa, because luckily I've been practicing that for a while, my mind will be able to make an excuse to not do that. And I know that about my mind. I know my mind can defeat me in that area. So I set a lower bar and I say, okay, we'll do it for 5 minutes. And then you can't tell me we don't have 5 minutes. So it can't drive me and push me. So understanding the way our mind works, how it gets us, how it dominates us, when it dominates us, you know what kind of things it says that can dominate us. What is our personality like? You know, what do we do to survive? Understanding all that about ourselves helps us to manage our machinery. Some people talk, and that's how they manage. And some people are quiet, and that's how they manage. They stay in the background. Now, neither of those is right or wrong or good or bad. But if it's the only thing we know how to do, we might be missing something. So, you know, I'm a little weak in the area that maybe I talk too much. So how, my dear mind, how can I practice learning how to listen? So it's a step-by-step process. It's not there's not a one-size-fits-all, because our machines aren't the same. You know, so, you know, the Bhagavatam has deep answers, which are relevant, but we need to get to the soul self. So we need to really actually manage, and I like the word managing our mind and managing our emotions rather than controlling, because controlling is kind of like a little forceful, you know, we're going to force ourselves. And usually when you force something this way, even in science, you push air this way, air will come back this way. So, you know, the forcing doesn't really get it. Now, there's a lot to understand there, so I can't fully answer your question, because it's a discovery that you make day by day. My dear Lord Krishna, what do you want to teach me today? What do you want to show me today? What's the next thing for me to learn to progress in my spiritual life? You know, what can I practice? What do you, like that? And you do that day after day after day after day. And when you're really curious and you ask Krishna, he'll show you. And if you're open, besides being curious, you're open to hearing, then he can actually give you indications of what's next. Was that helpful?
Thanks.
Okay. It's a big topic. I've been working on it for 20 years. That was a short answer. I'm aware of the time. We might have time for another question. Please.
Thank you so much, Mataji.
It
really made me think. And I was just thinking when you were answering this question that we don't have that much time or patience to basically just, you know, reflect and do that introspection. So that's a different topic. My question was regarding the pains that you mentioned. So many times there are pains, but we don't know. So if you could help us understand the symptoms of presence of pain, then, you know, at least it will help me.
Okay. So. And thank you for acknowledging. Sometimes we're so busy, I'll ask you. Okay, go ahead.
Question that is that we don't have time.
Uh-huh.
You know, most of the time we go through the pain, and when we are supposed to sit and dissolve those issues, our mind says we don't have time. So how to find time?
Yeah. So it's something about taking responsibility, and it happens individually And collectively, I'll talk more about that tonight in the topic that I'm going to talk about, integrity, because I find when things start falling out and I can't follow through on something, or I start feeling stressed and I can look at my thumb. I have this habit of scratching my thumb, and I may not even know I'm stressed, and then I'll look at my thumb and like, wow, I must be in stress. So we need to be able to discern for ourselves, you know, when am I in stress? Because usually we don't discern it until it's coming out the top, right? We need to discern it, you know, before it gets to stage four. But taking time to reflect and introspect is so valuable in our Krishna consciousness. It's so valuable. I mean, it saved me. I wouldn't be here if I didn't. And time is about making time. That means we have to be conscious. What am I giving my time to? Am I saying yes when really I can't say yes, but I'm afraid to say no, and I don't know how to say no, and I don't want to hurt the person's feelings, or it's my authority, and I don't want to look bad that I'm saying I can't do that. I don't want to look like... So that's all in with the ego mechanisms. So it's a whole big topic to work on all of that. So we got to look at integrity. We'll talk about integrity more tonight, and that'll be about time. Now, about the pain, one thing I want to say, and I do put this in my book on the mind and false ego, the pain originates from our spiritual pain. We have a spiritual pain. It's called grief. We've lost our true identity. We've lost our loving relationship with Krishna, at least temporarily. And we've lost, you know, being in the spiritual world. Those are three major losses. And so there's grief inside of us. But that grief gets misinterpreted even through the child mind when we're young, and it gets misinterpreted through the material mind, which perpetuates more ego. So the material mind says, oh, you know, nobody loves me, or I'm unlovable, or I'm not good enough, or I'm bad. And we all start with a pained persona, which is simply a perverted reflection of our existential spiritual grief. So that pain is there. And that pain is there because somewhere deep inside, we do love Krishna and we do miss Krishna, but we got all mixed up in this world. And then sometimes it's like, we want to suppress all the pain, but when we suppress the pain, we actually suppress all the emotions. We suppress the love too. It's like, I don't want to have relationships. I know why people become impersonalists. I don't want the pain. It's too much trouble. It's, oh my gosh, all this stuff, all this pain. So we push down the pain, but we also push down the love. If you notice, with the gopis, love and pain are intimately connected. So we will need to address the pain to get to the love. I'm going to leave that as a cliffhanger because it's something to think about. Anyway, I want to honor your time. It's 9:04, and that's a little overtime. Thank you so much for your presence, your participation, and your questions. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, and I will be back at the table. Thank you. Vansha kalpatubhyascha, kripa sindhibhyavacha, patitanam pavanebhyo, vaishnavebhyo namo namah. And also be around the whole day. If any of you want to have more questions and talk to me personally, I'm a talker, so I'll be available to speak to. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.